Oh yeah, babies. This is a Crusty Road, or a bad imitation thereof, coming at you saying, listen, you're on the Take Two Takedown podcast with Don and Craig. You little real Americans, probably sons of plumbers like me. Dusty Rhodes, coming right at you.
And this is the bad guy, Reza Ramon. You think I'm bad? You don't know nothing about bad. John and Craig, they bad. They have all the gold. You listen to them, you's a winner. Folks, welcome to episode 18 of
1-8
Take Two Takedown. We are here. We have amazing news, John.
Yep,
amazing news.
I'm just saying, yep.
It's taken 18 episodes.
18.
Not quite sure how many months that is. Years? How long have we been doing this show?
Like months.
3.5 years.
No months.
3.5 years.
Months.
And 18 episodes.
18.
We have 100 followers.
What?
What?
Hey.
What?
Hey, let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Then.
Yes.
Who is lucky number 100?
Lucky number 100 is someone that we have actually talked about on the show.
Mojo Rawley?
Oh.
Wait,
you know, when I have good news and then you say that, then I feel like I don't have good news.
Wait. Could it be?
Mm-hmm.
The love of my life?
Oh. So we're almost there.
Almost Becky Lynch?
Almost Becky Lynch.
Sonya Deville.
Right. The person, it's Becky Lynch, Sonya Deville, and then our 100th follower, the third love of your life, Slim Jim from the Crazy Kids of Right Coast Pro.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
We got us a Slim Jim.
We got Slim Jim at RCP Slim Jim. Mr. Slim Jim himself from the Crazy Kids
number
from
100.
Right Coast Pro is our 100th follower.
So he's killing it on the indie show.
Yep.
And now he's killing it on our show.
Right, because he's realized how important we are to the wrestling community.
Hey, just quick question.
Mm-hmm.
We're so excited, we seem to be yelling.
Yes.
Why?
Because this is so exciting.
Well,
how many times have we gotten to 98 followers and then we're like, oh, we're so close. And then we look and then we're at 96.
I
too many times.
I feel as though our production would lend to people leaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, welcome, Slim Jim. We have no prizes. Nothing more than you being able to say for the rest of your life, outside of being like a tag team champion,
that
you're number 100 on the Take Two Takedown.
Right. Exactly. He will always be important to us now.
Well, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Because it's our world.
He's no Baldwin brother, but he's,
ooh,
he's there.
You watch your mouth. I mean, we do love us some Harry and Baldwin.
We do love us some Harry.
However,
mm-hmm,
the Crazy Kids earned that title, defended that title, and keep that title because of their ability. So you let Slim Jim have his time.
I can do that. Can do that for now.
So, but with Slim Jim, we want to welcome all our new followers and all new listeners. We love you all. Thank you very much.
All of you, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that should lead us, my friend,
mm-hmm,
and to the Triple T mailbag.
We need like an intro music segment to this.
I think we do.
Do 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 do. The bag.
That is not gonna work.
Is that not it?
No.
It doesn't work for a wrestling show mailbag segment?
Not at all.
No?
Let's get into this mailbag. So, friends, if you don't understand, we have what we call the Triple T Bag at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
It is our mail-in section where you guys can mail us any questions you want. It could be about wrestling because, I mean, we're pretty much aficionados, hot potatoes.
Right.
Super studs that know nothing,
mm-hmm,
but will lie
Very
and
true.
Pretend we do.
Very true.
And then we know worldly things, would you say?
Worldly things. We help people not only in the wrestling community, but in the whole world.
So we would be the tightest worldwide, but international.
Exactly. We will have our teabag internationally across everybody.
Speaking of Titus Worldwide.
Yes.
Just a quick shout out to our other show, Take Two. They were talking about, on their latest episode, episode 70, about the Black Panther movie challenge.
Yes.
Where mm-hmm. you can go to a GoFundMe page, and I hope we have it up on the website, Take Two.
We do. We do. I checked it and noticed.
And you can dump in a little money to allow underprivileged youth to go see this movie because it's supposed to be prolific for the community and empowering.
Yep.
Sort of like Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
So we're all about this. We're all for it. Did you know, from the wrestling end, Titus Worldwide has accepted this challenge and has gotten enough money and time and funding to take 2,000 underprivileged youth in the Florida area to go see this movie?
I saw that he actually had this idea, I think, before the challenge was out there.
Oh, I agree.
And he was in, like, the 500 to 600 kid range. And then this challenge came out, and he took it straight to heart. And yeah, 2,000 kids he's taking to see this movie. That's amazing.
Because let's put it down to brass tacks before we get into our super serious question, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is superhero movies? What is wrestling? It's just larger than life characters giving us some story that we want
right. That
makes us feel good and better about whatever we're at in our lives. So good on you guys. Titus, we are completely in love with you because of everything you do in the community, and we don't feel you get enough recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you. Now.
Good on you.
Hit me with that question, brother.
Okay. We have a lovely letter from Mr. Torn in Tulsa.
Torn in Tulsa?
Torn in Tulsa. Mr. I'm assuming it's Mr. based on this question, but, you know, I don't want to make assumptions.
Okay.
Okay. Torn in Tulsa asks us, hello, oh holy lords of wrestling podcasting.
God.
So obviously it's us.
We're deities.
We are.
It is 2018, the year of John the Demigod.
That is true. He just started listening, and you mentioned answering not only questions about wrestling, but also life.
Ooh, a life question.
Mm-hmm. Currently dating a girl way out of my league. No lie, it's like Margot Robbie dating Screech. And not I, Tanya, Margot Robbie. I'm talking about butt-naked, looking insanely hot, Wolf of Wall Street, Margot Robbie.
Wow.
So this is way out of Screech's league.
So we're looking at Becky Lynch and John.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
I'm with you. I'm with you so far,
mm-hmm.
Torn.
Okay. Anywho, I don't know if we should keep reading this letter after he says that, but we'll go. We'll go with this.
It's better than kerfluffle.
That's true. Anywho, I absolutely hate John Cena. She adores him. She's really into it when I dress in jorts and a baseball cap and come into the bedroom to his music. Then, once things get heated, I have to scream, "You can't see him," in reference to my now hidden body part.
Okay.
I'm so torn. Please help. Do I continue to leave all my manhood and pride outside for the sake of this insane beauty, or do I stand up for myself and demand she start dressing as Trish Stratus?
Ooh.
Thanks. Torn in Tulsa.
This is a very serious...
This is a very serious question.
Very serious question.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to take it to the wrestling level.
Okay.
Nobody likes John Cena.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're under like 10...
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about the maturity level of your insanely hot girlfriend.
Right.
But...
I do enjoy just doing...
You can't see me!
I just do that all day.
I'm just worried... I'm just worried, like, is she dropping an F, or not an F5, the attitude adjustment on you?
Maybe, I don't know.
Is she giving you the five-knuckle shuffle?
We didn't get specifics as to what happens.
Did you get the pun there?
I got the pun there.
The five-knuckle shuffle?
I got the pun there.
On his You Can't See Me
right.
member?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get back into the real world here. So, in the boudoir. What works, man. If you're getting yours and she's getting hers, I say go for it. A little role-playing can't hurt. If she wants, or you want her to be like Trish Stratus, you know, step up your game a little bit. I do love me some Sasha Banks legit boss action.
That's true. That's true.
So have her rock that a little bit.
And put on a purple wig, whatever.
Yeah, but we're mm-hmm. talking Margot Robbie, insane hot Wolves of Wall Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, now, emotionally and psychologically?
Right, for like long-term effects of how this might affect Mr. Torn in Tulsa.
I say, look, Torn, let the fire burn bright, let it burn hot, and let it burn out.
Just get out.
But you get yours, you get you some pictures, you get you the way of saying, hey, look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you legitimacy, Screech. I mean, I don't know what to tell you,
that's
buddy.
That's true.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, in all honesty, if anybody's in a situation like this where it's in a weird relationship, I say take it to the limit and then walk away.
And then walk away. Just walk it. Away.
Kind of like Dolph Ziggler did with the U.S. champion title.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. We always bring it back to wrestling.
I'm just putting it out there.
I think my main concern with this question, I mean, I know I shop at high quality stores usually for my clothing.
The Target, Mart of Walls?
Right. The Mart of Walls. Maybe if I'm feeling a little spicy, the Old of Navy.
Ooh. That's when you're really bringing it up.
Where do you buy jorts?
I think you can get them still on the Amazon.
Oh.
Or you get your mom to make them out of your old jeans.
Oh, okay. So you just take old jeans and cut them.
I guess, yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking because Tap Out is a WWE brand, maybe they sell WWE workout jorts.
That would be cool. Out. That would be cool.
I don't know. Should we have a take-two, take-down challenge of who can find jorts?
Who can find jorts first? I used to have a pair of Outcast jorts.
Of course you did.
They had the big Outcast symbol on the back pocket.
Of course you did.
I may still have them, actually.
Did you have the Wu-Tang pocket as well?
No, but I did have a No Limit Soldier jersey that I used to wear with it a lot.
Well, of course you did.
does this not make sense?
I don't want to know about your 90s fashion sense.
Good times.
I can't.
Good times.
You know what?
Hmm?
Let's just step away from that.
Okay.
Walk into Raw.
Let's go into Raw instead. That's
speaking
actually
speaking of Jorts.
Yes, speaking of Jorts.
We open up with the Raw. Jordan one himself.
Oh, it's like that all meant to happen.
It's synergy, baby. It's synergy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're talking about John Cena. We get the opening with him in the ring. And whether you like him, hate him, whatever it is, the man can still do a promo.
He so can.
You
can
just give it to him.
He is great. And he has gotten so good in feeding off of the audience, whether they're hating him or loving him at that moment. Like, he is so good at, you know, just, no matter what they're saying to him, he just feeds into it. Like,
do you think he gets that from hosting, like, Good Morning America or something?
Whatever of the 9 different shows he hosts all over the world.
When he's Ferdinand the Bull.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand how any of this works.
Speaking of, never mind, we'll get into it.
Wait.
We'll get into it later.
Okay. So anyway, John Cena comes in, cuts a good promo, he's feeding the crowd, he's giving them what they want, it's great. And who comes out?
Ah! The other man who cuts an amazing promo every time. Oh.
God, we love
Cena and Miz together cutting promos against each other. It's so good.
And they're talking about who's going to win the Elimination Chamber match because they both deserve it.
Right.
I'm still looking at the stars. I'm still talking to my, you know, astrologer. Finding out. It's the year of the Miz.
You're the Miz?
You're the Miz. So much so.
So, I don't know. It's to have a WrestleMania and you not have Cena in it.
Like, oh, he'll be in it, but I mean, is he really going to go against Brock Lesnar?
That's true.
Let's be honest. We all know the card shows him and The Undertaker going at it.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true.
But the Miz comes out, always the man of opportunity, has his little thug's lives, take out Cena. Then he goes, yes, I'll take the match.
Right, to see who goes in first and has to stay there the longest.
And then Kurt Angle comes out and goes, oh, no, Miz. It's not going down this way. Bo, Curtis, you guys are gone.
You're eliminated. There were, I want to say, 5 to 6 times that he stumbled over lines.
Oh my God, he was so,
in that one episode.
So brick faced.
Like said the wrong thing. At one point he said, I believe it might have been this. He said, I don't know. I got a yes or no answer for the audience. I mean, yes or no question for the audience. And I was like, what?
All right. So yes, he was terrible this week, but I do got to agree with him. If you're going to come out and applaud any of these performers' injuries, you're pretty much a douchebag. All right? And Kurt Angle put it out there. He's like, this is my son, and he's hurt. And if you're going to do this for any of the other wrestlers, that's just not right. And I'm like, you know what, Kurt? I mean, you're right.
He is right. But the reason that everybody is cheering it is because Jason Jordan's been so good at the role he's playing.
Exactly.
You don't want him to fight. You want him to lose.
You want to boo the heel. So he's getting the response that he needs. But we do know, because being the nerds that we are, Jason Jordan had a successful surgery. We're not sure when he'll come back, but all is good with him. So we will get to boo him soon enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, This turns into a match between Miz and Cena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a good match.
It was. It
was. A lot of back and forth. They're taking each other's hits. Finally, it takes Cena, the atomic AA, off the second rope to put Miz down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Yep. Miz loses. And then, as we discussed via text, they do a beautiful promo against each other. They do a beautiful match against each other. We love it. And Cena walks out into the audience and makes us get all types of feels.
Oh, my God.
When he goes to see that kid that I'm assuming was on a Make-A-Wish trip.
I don't know,
and he gives him the wristbands and lays it out on the wheelchair. I was like, oh, come on!
How is it we're looking at Cena and we're hating the fact that he's just such a great guy? And then he goes out in the crowd, he hugs the kid, and we're like, the room got dusty all of a sudden. There's like some feelies going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what this feeling is.
I don't know what this is.
But, I mean, you can hate the character John Cena, but I do not hate John Cena. It's such a weird dynamic. Yeah. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I don't know. How do you feel about the Revival?
Let's get into this. So I think as we've discussed before, I'm cheap. We don't have cable at my house. So I watch Raw through Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to me, Hulu always cuts down the show. I thought to what is actually watchable, and they cut out some of the no-name stuff. In reviewing for this week, the Carl Anderson and Gallows and Revival match, never saw. Wasn't on Hulu.
Oh.
The Mickey James, Alexa Bliss, Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, never saw. They didn't show it on Hulu. They cut down the 3+ hours to about 90 minutes, and I thought that was because of all the crap commercials. Yeah, they actually just take stuff out.
Yeah, they take like one or two matches out.
Yeah. I guess I never noticed because they were crap matches, but in researching all this, I was like, oh, so you could discuss. I can discuss my ideas on the Revival. I just didn't see the match.
Well, let me do this. Mm-hmm. Let me do this. I will talk about the two matches you didn't get to see because we need to go. I mean, there were certain things that happened in the Cena Miz match where this determined who was the first in the chamber.
Right.
And now we know it's going to be the Miz.
Yeah.
So then we're going to get into the Fatal 5-Way to see who got that last slot in the chamber. We'll get into that. Let me knock out these two matches for you.
Yeah, knock out another.
So the two matches are this. We've got the Revival and the Good Brothers wrestling each other. The Revival comes down, just so you know, because you don't know. Comes down, take out Carl Anderson's knee. Take out the big guy.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice strategic plan. Mm-hmm. They strategize.
They use strategery.
Yes.
Strategery.
So they take it out. It's a great match, and I'm excited because now we've got the Revival that's coming up, and I always like the Revival in NXT, and you got the Good Brothers that are starting to show again. They're still playing the nerd stick, but it's playing more into who they are, the big heavy thugs. Carl Anderson, the last two matches, you saw him last week on Raw with Finn, and I got to see him this week. Carl Anderson is coming out and showing some incredible things. Like, he does this kick to, I think it's Dash. He does this kick in the corner where he literally climbs up the ropes and kicks him in the face. And the best part about it is he does what every one of us has done in our years as a kid, where when he's making the kick, he goes, hi-ya! And I loved it.
Did he also do like a crane pose?
No, there was no crane pose. But he comes up and he does the obligatory leg slap to make it sound harder. And he goes, hi-ya! And it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
But the Revival just comes back. They keep taking out Carl Anderson's knee to the point where they get the win.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. It was a good match. Yeah, I like the little rivalry they're building. They're getting the Revival over. So I want to know where they're going to take the Good Brothers, because this is like a really – finally, I'm getting some interest in tag team here.
Right, right, which Raw needs.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get into Mickey James, Alexa Bliss, that dynamic.
Right. Came from last week.
I know, but did you see the intro coming into, or did they cut that out too?
Nope, they didn't even know the match happened.
Right. So Alexa Bliss comes out and she's trying to be all buddy-buddy with Mickey, and Mickey's like, hey, I don't know what crap you're trying to pull here, but I'm not going to fall for it. You've been gunning me and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa Bliss calls out exactly what we said last week. Hey, look, there's a lot of people gunning for me. I'm not comfortable with it. We have a better chance if we stick together. And don't forget, Mickey, I'm the one who brought you back. Mickey
you
says...
You knew she would pull that card. Yeah.
Mickey says, you know what? Not for nothing. I don't feel right about this, but I'm going to go ahead and work with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in. They have a tag team match with two of my new favorites, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy Rose is an attractive woman, but she can wrestle her little
Gold
LeMay outfit off. But, you know, and then Sonya Deville has been a crush of mine for a while now. Anyway, decent match. I've seen better, but it wasn't bad.
Okay.
So there was a lot of back and forth, and it, I mean, it went right. I don't know. Deville and Rose win. There's some shenanigans, but anyway, not that important. Well, I don't want to say it's not that important, but it, you didn't get that feel that it was that important.
Yeah.
Because all of these have some sort of implication with the women's elimination chamber. And, like, you just don't feel like it's getting over. Like,
It's they're pushing that, but the way that they're pushing the women's, the first ever women's elimination chamber, like we talked about it when they announced it. They're not doing a qualifying. They're not they didn't even bring them out. You get Grandpa just standing in the ring pointing at the Jumbotron as to who's coming out. And
like we said last week, the only one I can see getting over in the Elimination Chamber is Sasha Banks, which I am starting to like because they are letting her turn heel.
Yes, yes. Her and Bayley match I thought was really good.
Speaking of her and Bayley, I want to do a new favorite clip that at least is a favorite of mine. Silly Things My Family Says... while they do, like, the drive-by wrestling watching.
Yes. Another segment we need some sort of intro for.
So once again, my lovely wife, whom I love dearly, poor choice of TV, she chose to watch the Bachelor Olympics over wrestling.
Is this like bachelors going against each other, or?
I don't know. My wife tried to describe it to me. Basically, she goes, they take people that were on the Bachelor before.
Okay.
And then they took people from around the world that I guess were on similar Bachelor shows.
Oh, like Bachelor Canada and Bachelor Israel?
Yeah, and so they match them up. I'm just going off of what my wife tells me. So they match them up and they have to do stuff?
Is it Olympic events?
I don't
like
know.
Like bobsledding?
I don't know. But all I can see is stupidity. And if my wife judges me on my love for wrestling,
right,
I will judge her right back.
Oh, we can judge this Bachelor Olympics watching for months.
I say shame on you.
Shame.
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 But as she comes down to get a drink and I'm sitting there watching wrestling, she looks over and she's stunned as Sasha Banks and Bayley are having their match. And she looks over and she goes, "Who's that girl?" pointing at Bayley. I go, "That's Bayley." And she goes, "Well, who's the other girl?" I'm like, "That's Sasha Banks." And she goes, "Well, Sasha Banks looks like she's wearing a clown wig." I said, "Well, it's her look."
Mm.
And she goes, "But the other one is worse." I'm like, "Why would you say that about Bayley?"
Right.
And she goes, and I quote, "Her outfit looks like a clown threw up in a kid's room."
Which is accurately appropriate, I think.
I couldn't help but bust out laughing. That was great.
Yep.
So... now that we're in the match,
yeah.
What did you feel about the Bayley-Sasha match?
I thought it was pretty good. They're always real good together, I think.
They are. And I like that they are giving Bayley a little bit of an edge.
They are. They're trying to push her a little bit and bring her back. Because she was falling. They're trying to bring her back up a little bit, I think.
I think they're realizing that they have some talent to come in, some talent to come up in the women's division. But if you're going to keep your core... you can't just let them ride. You have to keep building them. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons they're learning through 205, and I think that's one of the biggest lessons they're learning in the women's division now, is because you are limited in your resources, you have to make your resources work for you. So if you are not going to put any heat on Bayley, well, you're just going to lose that competitor.
Right. You can't just have her sitting on the back burner with nothing.
And that's one-tenth of your resources?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't have that. So I like the fact that maybe they're starting to realize this and they're giving some push and pop to the ones that need it.
Mm-hmm.
So I like these last three matches. The one we had with Asuka and Banks, the one we had with Asuka and Bayley, and now the one we have with Bayley and Banks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, and I agree with you. Banks and Bayley have always been good together.
Always been good together. I mean, the matches I've seen even with them when they were in NXT were always good.
And then at the end, we were waiting for the big old Bayley hug.
And then your girl,
God, I love
Nia Jax, comes out of nowhere, just knocks them both down, plows over them.
I'm going to be catty for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a big fan of her hairstyle this time.
Yeah.
I just like it down and long.
No.
But she had it all crimped over to one side. Kind of looked a little weird.
It did. It did.
But, yeah, staring right in her eyes.
Right. Now, the only thing I did not enjoy about this, and this is an issue I'm having with most of Raw, is I feel that maybe with this new semester of college, Raw got an intern that knows how to do computer animation on the screen.
Oh.
So that when Nia Jax is talking, it's like, I will win. And it like pops up all over the screen.
Little words pop
little
up.
Little words pop up.
Just a little catchphrase or a little pop.
Mm-hmm. And like, why okay. is this? This happened all over the show now. Every time the Good Brothers come out, it's like nerds. And then they, like the nerd meter shows up. And,
yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
Somebody got a PowerPoint graphic card.
Right. And they were like, I can do this.
But you know what? As much as I agree that I do not like that, I will say this. Raw and SmackDown are updating the image a little bit, trying to push some new things. Like, we've talked about it where they're now cutting the promos with the wrestlers shooting with their cell phones. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to make it more hip and closer to kids these days.
Kids these days. If at any point an emoji shows up on screen while they're talking, like a little, like, winky smiley face, like, it's over, right? Like, we've aged out of watching it.
See, I don't know. I feel... At the right time, during the right conversation, the poop emoji coming out would be perfect.
Can't falter there.
Okay.
So, there's always a good time for a poop emoji.
It's only because we have the maturity of, what, 8-year-olds now.
And at most.
Poop, poop, poop. Poop is funny. Poop is funny. So speaking of poop.
Wait. Before we get into poop, I don't know about you. One of my favorite parts of Monday Night Raw was Elias and Strowman. when Elias is up there singing and he's got the spotlight on him, and you hear Strowman is going to come out, and instead of the normal walkout, it is a spotlight on him, and he pulls out a giant bass and starts to strum it like a car. One strum falls apart.
So I'm saying, speaking of poop, because... Come on, Elias. I love you. I mean, I'm walking with Elias here, but you're coming out in like your grandma's robe.
Oh my gosh. I said the exact same thing. I was like, look, why did Elias start wearing my mom's nightgown? I don't understand.
It's like he went to a thrift store and raided the ladies section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so he's cutting the promo, he's doing the song. Speaking of, just like John Cena, I think Elias is really building up this ability to play off of whatever crowd reaction gets.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sorry. When they were booing him, and he said that he started to sing, and he said, look, I understand, guys, but I'm playing really good, and my voice is sounding really good tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and finish this song.
He goes, and I just like hearing the sound of my voice.
Like, it was like, oh, that was so great.
Oh, so he gets over. But speaking about getting over, you bring out Braun Strowman. He's sitting on his stool. Then he goes and he gets his big-ass bass. And like you said...
just falls apart.
And then he comes in, and we know the bass is going across Elias's back. We know it.
We already know it's made of flimsy material at this point.
It's great. I don't know why.
I love that so much,
but it was hilarious. So they get in, they do a little facey face time. Elias goes to put the guitar across Strowman's back. Strowman says, "Oh no." Mm. Drags him up to the top of the ramp and then proceeds to destroy the base across him.
So good.
We knew everything that was going to happen in that story. We still sat down.
Didn't care. Loved every minute of it.
Like Saturday morning cartoons. Yep. Just there with a big bowl of cereal. Just yum, yum, yum. Just eating it up.
I loved it.
Oh, it was awesome.
That part alone was worth watching the entire
episode. Oh, man. I guess the last one we got. And let's be honest. All in all, Raw and SmackDown this week were... good enough.
Yeah,
good enough. I'm not complaining. Like, it wasn't a horrible show, but it wasn't, like, a great show.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. I followed them. But let's get into the whole Jason Jordan thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about it a little bit, and I said, good on you, Kurt Angle, for basically saying, hey, if you're going to come out here and cheer for people getting injured, you're kind of a douchebag.
Which is right.
So I give him that. And he's playing up the whole thing of, hey, I've got some really bad news. My son is injured, and he's going to miss WrestleMania. And I wanted to ask you, how do you feel with Seth Rollins coming out and basically begging/stealing a spot in the Elimination Chamber? And how do you feel about him coming out like super babyface at this point, like, I'm throwing myself at your mercy, Kurt. I know I've been bad in the past, but I haven't missed a WrestleMania, and I really need one in.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things. Like, I enjoy Seth Rollins. I like him a lot.
I do, too.
So I do want him in WrestleMania somehow. And the points he made were right. He's got no reason to be in WrestleMania now. He's got no singles that he's worried about. Especially now with Jordan gone, he's not doing a tag team thing. Like but I don't know. Like the way that they had him, like you had it. It wasn't a you need to put me in this because I need to be in this, which I think is how it should have gone. It was more of a begging, like you said, and I didn't like that. Like it should have been like I need to be there. You can't have WrestleMania without me. Like I am the Kingslayer.
Yeah.
Instead, so it was a please put me in. I did enjoy the fact, though, that he said he wants to earn his way in as opposed to just put me in. So they put him in that final four-way, which is now a final five-way to end the night.
How did you feel, though, when Roman basically calls him out backstage? And he's like, oh, I see you weaseled your way in.
Right. That, yeah.
Lack of better terms. And Rollins just owned it. He's like, I got to do what I got to do, but I needed to get in. You're already in.
Right. Exactly.
Which I think... I took it as the jive of, listen, you're the poster boy for WWE. We know you're going to be there.
Yeah, I am not.
I need to do something. So let's get into the match then that maybe gets him in?
I mean, I thought the match was really good.
Oh, it was awesome.
Like, the match, I think, was great, all of them together.
Once again, Apollo Crews.
He looks so good.
Horrible on the mic.
Horrible.
He's cutting his promo where Titus excuses the little ring girl, and he starts interviewing him, and he's setting him up, and Apollo Crews is, Kingslayer, I will not let you slay me.
Yeah.
Hey, what was it? Seth Rollins, will you want to burn it down? I will put your fire out.
Yeah.
It's like, dang it, Apollo.
Yeah.
You're almost like a Roman Reigns at this point in my world, where I love watching you in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Hate listening to you on the mic.
Yeah. And he is, I mean... I know that he is of a tiny stature, and he's obviously got strength, but how that man can do standing moonsaults and standing splash.
But on command.
Like, just stand next to him, boom, flip around. I was like, first of all, you're only like 5'3", so you have very little space to jump.
Like, unbelievable.
He probably weighs as much as me do. It's just all
well,
muscle.
Well, I mean, you were a cheerleader slash gymnast slash step dancer.
Right, obviously.
So you can do all that,
I can do all that. I just choose not to.
At 420 pounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm. About.
I can't do it because, according to you, I'm 90 years old.
90 years old. You'll break a hip. Yeah. And part of your clavicle.
Okay. Well, now that we're describing body bones and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the match is really good.
Yeah.
And it ends with, weirdly, both Rollins and Balor pinning Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah. At the exact same time, both... being like they won both because they were on opposite sides, so they didn't realize that they had both done it, and then they both won, and then oh no, what do we got now? Like, and that's literally how the show ends.
But we still had the Reigns Sheamus match.
That was actually, I think, before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But the Romans, which was also good. I mean, they had good fights before.
Well, see, I love Sheamus and Roman together in a ring. They're really good together.
Yeah.
And the only reason I bring this up is because we talked about Roman having his card, and Roman had lost the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So they had to get him over. They put him in with Sheamus, who I think is going to die soon if he keeps wrestling.
Yes.
Because he's got the same neck injury as, like, the Edge, and he's got the same neck injury that's putting Paige on the sidelines right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think Sheamus is just like, screw it.
Screw it. Who cares?
I don't care.
Who cares?
But... I don't know. So, anyway, Reigns won that one. But back to the Elimination Chamber. What do you think is going to happen here, buddy?
I mean, I don't think, I guess unless they build a new one, that they can make it a 7-person Elimination Chamber.
I don't know.
Unless, like I said, unless they literally build a new chamber than they've never used before.
Here's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is this. They're going to do one of two things. And I guess I'm wish-talking here.
Yes.
All right, one of two things. Next week, we have a match on Raw before the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
We have a match on Raw where it's, okay, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, you two will have to compete for who's ever going in the Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that match because that's always a good match. I like watching Finn and Seth wrestle each other.
Yes.
What I'm really kind of hoping for is The Miz says, hey, we can't have this. I've got the first slot in the Elimination Chamber. I am willing to give up my whole opportunity in the Elimination Chamber, because he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
You two can wrestle it out, or one of you two can just take it from me. And then he'll come in, have an Intercontinental Champion match, drop that belt to Braun Strowman so that he can maybe go against Reigns.
It's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I like the way that kind of works out.
I'm just saying, WWE, if you need me, I'm here.
You're here. You're here.
I'm ready to give you.
Ready to go at any given point.
111. Because this one goes to 111.
Ooh. That's more than 110.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout Raw, we're getting a couple of promos of somebody coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it, Craig?
Was it The Undertaker?
No.
Was it The Road Dogg?
God, no. Let me help you out here.
Mm-hmm.
He's known to be on the SmackDown brand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Portrayer of the Zigzag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. How else can I give you hints without giving it away? Does not like intro music.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a tendency to win things and then leave them in the middle of rings?
He has been known to do so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the man who started SmackDown the next night, one Mr. Dolph Ziggler?
I sure am.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, and you are. I mean, you and I are the only two that are like, oh, Dolph SmackDown! We love Dolph.
There's nothing that I enjoy more now than, as it happened both times he came out on SmackDown, which is lights, LCD everywhere, like fireworks, and then... Nothing. They literally was like, we're going to show you how shitty a WWE event looks in person sometimes when we don't light stuff up. And it's like, oh, look, this beautiful entrance they walk out of is just made out of like some cardboard.
But then they pop his here to
then they pop
the world,
his music, which makes me happy again.
He comes down
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we find out that who is it? KO's going to face Corbin, and if Corbin wins, he's in the match at Fastlane.
Yep.
And then Zayn's going to face Ziggler, and if Ziggler wins, he's in the match, and we'll go from a fatal three-way to a four-way to a five-way.
And if Owens or Zayn gets involved in each other's matches, they're out.
And
like, it's this whole thing. And, like, I understand the concept, but it seems like because you... I don't know. I guess they don't feel, obviously, that Corbin and Ziggler have enough heat on their own to make their own Fastlane match. That they're like, all right, well, we're just going to keep adding people to this thing.
Well, I mean, so it opens up. Ziggler comes out. He's supposed to have this match with Corbin to open everything up. We go backstage. We see Zayn and Owens just beating
just
the piss
beating
out of Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Corbin. He gets up, gets a few licks in, and then they beat him down some more.
Yep.
Then they
yep.
come out and, you know... I don't know, man.
I don't know.
And
the way, you know, we'll skip ahead to what goes on. The way it ends up being is now Fastlane will have a fatal five-way match because Corbin wins and Ziggler wins. Look,
Corbin hits End of Days in the, what is it, Deep Blue, Deep Dive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something deep. I can't remember for
deep
the life.
Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah, I can't right. remember for the life of me right now, but... wins over Kevin. Kevin comes backstage and is like, Sammy, I'm so sorry I lost it. And Sammy's like, just leave me alone. I'm going to handle my business. And he goes out and he loses
Ziggler. Too, yeah.
So now we know it's a fatal five-way at Fastlane for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of them have a chance of getting over on AJ when we know that at WrestleMania he's going to face Nakamura?
No.
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 So obviously this was...
My other question, do they add another person to this fatal five-way solely so that Elimination Chamber has six people fighting at one time, and they will have six people fighting at one time.
Well, no, because here's what I'm looking at. How do we take the heat of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn off of AJ so that he can now focus on his match with Nakamura after Fastlane?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it just so happens we took Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin, and it looks like, could it be a tag team?
What?
Now, I'm almost thinking it's going to be like a Cesaro-Sheamus kind of feel where it's like, we don't get along, we hate each other. As a matter of fact, we competed against each other for the U.S. champion, and Rude took it eventually. But we've got to work together if we want to make anything happen here. So we know that Ziggler has just been signed to a 2-year contract.
Right.
To bring him back, says the WWE wants him. for him to have come back, they have obviously made him promises.
So
I am feeling he's getting a belt or belts somewhere down the line in the next 2 years, and he is going to get that pop. I think they are trying to use Ziggler, once again, to get Corbin back up. Because Corbin looks great in the ring, but nobody likes his promo.
So my
prediction is this. You have this fatal five-way at Fastlane. One of the four wind up pinning somebody. Somehow AJ retains the belt.
Yes.
So they wind up beating each other up. AJ winds up landing on somebody and wins the belt.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to carry that into WrestleMania. It's the match all his fans want.
Right. They're not going to take that away.
But this leads you into four of your upper echelon, your A cards, having heat against each other.
Having a possible tag team match. I could see that.
That's what I'm looking at in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was good to see Ziggler come out in his inaugural match. I'm not going to count the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That was just a little fan pop of, oh, hey, Ziggler's here, and oh, hey, Ziggler's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I see that coming down the line, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
So there were some other things. SmackDown was weird this week. SmackDown, I feel, has gotten sort of lazy, maybe, in their storytelling. Like, Fastlane is not one of the big pay-per-views. And I feel that they're just sort of riding into it. But
it's deep sighs on the SmackDown this week.
But I know I can't tell whether your sigh is a sigh of sadness and you expected more, or a sigh of your love comes out and you finally get to see her again.
I do like that.
Mm-hmm. She didn't fight.
No, she didn't have to. She was ring candy for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I like
it was Sarah talk. Logan versus right. Flair.
So we're getting into this, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going.
This is where we're going. Let's all start right. here.
So the rabid raccoon.
Right.
Facing the queen.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Now, I like the fact that of the three in the Riot Squad, Sarah Logan is the only one that looks like she could stand up to a Charlotte Flair.
Correct.
Same height, same build, same size, has the ability. This match was sloppy and ugly.
Yeah, did not like it. And I saw no real purpose to it, except maybe, I guess, to show off some Sarah Logan, but they didn't even show her off that well.
No, all she did was throw punches and grab Charlotte.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem I have with it, why I say it was sloppy and ugly, is very rarely am I one to call it out, but you literally have Charlotte, and they're showing it on camera, going, Logan, you have to do this move now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Throw me. Like, she's lift. Calling it out.
Lift me.
She's calling it out, and then they keep going to the same routine where it's punch, punch, grab, punch, punch, grab.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte gets a little over. Punch, punch, grab, punch, punch, grab. Then Charlotte gets a little over. We know Charlotte's going to win.
Right.
But it was just ugly,
and I
wasn't for it. And then just for some crowd pop, you bring out my Becky Lynch, which obviously gives me a pop.
Obviously.
And then Naomi, which obviously gives us a pop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we were there and we were watching it. The only interaction you had on the ringside was they would look and face each other and Becky would be like, oh, no, no.
Oh, no, no.
And then Ruby Riott and Viv.
Liv Morgan?
Liv Morgan. Thank you. God, what a brain fart names.
Vivian.
Vivian Aloysius. Vivian Cornholio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so just looking at each other, like if you're going to bring these actors out.
Come do something.
I called them actors.
Actors.
If you're going to bring this out and play this out, do something.
Do something with them. Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
The match was ugly and sloppy. I was not happy with it. And my sighs are like, oh.
And I mean.
Flair wins. Goes down to the table, puts the finger up, and says, one more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I honestly kind of knew it was coming, but liked it anyway. At the end, when Ruby Riott's standing at the top of the ramp, they're like panning in right onto her face, and you can see she's like, oh, God, I'm the last one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
She's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead. Yeah.
The match last week with Liv and Charlotte was so much better than this
right,
match.
Right, which I would not have expected.
Horrible.
Mm.
So let's talk about something I enjoyed. How did you feel about the Bobby Roode?
The cut. I liked the start. I liked I liked the idea. I loved it when John Cena did it. The U.S. Champion Open Challenge, I think, is one of the better things Cena's done in a very long time. I liked the fact that not only did Bobby Roode do it, but he even gave credit. And he was like, I liked that Cena did this.
Whether you like him or not. This is a great
idea. This was a great idea.
And I respect him
for it. And I'm glad that he said something like that instead of just being like, this is my idea.
No, I liked it too.
And I even liked him calling out Randy Orton.
That's what I liked.
Yeah.
Particularly, that is like, I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he said, you know, and the way he said it, this is open to anybody. Anybody in the locker room can come out. But who do I want? This is who I want. And then they give it to us. They give Randy Orton come out. And he comes out. And they're standing there.
And Bobby's like, I want to fight you. And Orton's like, okay, whatever. Right. But at that point, when he comes in the ring, Bobby's like, kind of becoming Orton's prison bitch almost.
I
want to fight you, but I respect you so much. I want this to be a good, clean fight.
Yeah.
Dude just RKO'd you last week.
Out of nowhere.
And it just nailed you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw him coming because we all saw you looking at the corner.
Right.
But you sold it nonetheless.
Nonetheless.
But dude RKO's you last week. You call him out this week. And then you're going to sit there in the middle of the ring and basically give him a rub job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by rub job, I do mean with your hand.
With your hand. And we got Jinder. And Jinder comes out.
I liked it, though.
See, the thing I did like is Jinder coming out and going against Randy Orton and the whole, how come you've been here for years and you're number 9 in the list? And he's number, like, 4 or 5, whatever he was.
I think they're trying to validate that piece of shit list idea that they have.
I agree. But if at least they're now giving me a reason that this list matters. Okay. They've been pushing this list for, like, 3 weeks. The 1 week of doing it and the 2 weeks that they've had it. And now I'm like, oh, this was the reason you had it. Because you have Jinder coming out and being like, look, this wasn't fans. This was people in the locker room don't respect you. Randy Orton, like no one likes you.
Yeah.
And that's when you have, you know,
and then he Bobby gets into RKOs.
Right.
The poor little Singh brother.
He
gets nailed.
Oh. But then, you know, then Roode gets Jinder and he gets him in a hold and then, oh, no, wait. Then Randy Orton has to break it up and then Jinder ends up beating everybody up.
But I like the little heat they're building. I like the fact that Jinder has always gotten over on Orton and now he's playing it up. And I say, keep going with it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a whole routine with Jinder, Orton, and Bobby Roode in a mix. In a heat.
I could see that. We'll see what they do with Fastlane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about pancakes?
I love pancakes.
Do you love pancakes as much as, say, the New Day does?
They love pancakes.
Well, my friend, I have a challenge for you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My challenge is this. I think it's March.
Right.
IHOP has the all-you-can-eat pancake special.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I say you and I take a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go in our New Day t-shirts.
Right.
Unicorn horns.
Yes.
We go to an IHOP.
Mm-hmm.
And we just eat pancakes.
Do we try and eat as many as Big E tried to eat?
I cannot eat over 800 pancakes.
Mm-hmm. He looked like he was going to go for it.
He had the bib.
Mm-hmm.
But I also say this. I'm going to throw out another challenge to one of our listeners.
Yes.
And friend.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show. Head musical technician
of T3.
Kegnition. So he not only handles being a technician, but he handles all our kegs.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right. So, one. Jason Wilson.
Yes. Know him. Love him. Continue.
I say, my friend,
mm-hmm.
you join us on this New Day expedition because this is all going to culminate into the big 0.05K
that we're going to run?
Yes.
In Baltimore?
As the New Day. So what better way than an all-you-can-eat pancake day of fun?
I'm liking this idea. High five.
I threw out a challenge to The Wrestling Life and Busted Wide Open.
Yep, and now we got one to Jason.
Mm-hmm. We are taking this wrestling thing live, baby.
Live, baby.
And if he says yes, I say we tweet it. Or not tweet it. We put it on the tube of views.
The tube of views,
so that people can watch us.
People can watch us shovel pancakes.
In our New Day attire.
I like this. I like this a lot. And I feel that appropriately, we should all have different pancakes. One have strawberry syrup only.
Yeah.
One have blueberry syrup only. Maybe one have maple. Maybe one have something.
And I feel that we order in character.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be the Kofi of our threesome.
Got it.
You will be the Big E.
That's obvious.
And Jason, because he is the musical genius, will have to be Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
So we all come in our character.
So who is going to start inside the IHOP so that when we come in and I'm sitting there going, oh, as we're walking into there, who is going to film that?
Don't you dare be sour.
Clap your hands and feel the power.
I feel as though we are all, I'm just going to come in skipping and clapping my hands like Kofi does. And I, being an overweight white gentleman,
yes,
have no idea how I'm going to rock the little Rastafarian pigtails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out
a way. Figure it out. Figure it out.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I have no, shame. So I have no problem.
What's the shame thing?
I have no problem wearing the wrestling singlet of Big E, and at some point while eating pancakes, just taking off the sleeves so that I'm shirtless. No problem.
You do realize, Jason, and I will rub pancakes on your face.
As you should. As you should.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now that we've gotten into this, how do you feel about the shtick where the Benjables call them out and they are the... Now the enforcers of you're stupid.
Right. We are the serious wrestlers. Ugh. You know?
Hey, you go from having such a great program with the Usos to now just playing up the, we're taking out all the stupidity here. Hey, guess what? The Revival's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, fine, I guess you're trying to build some heat and see if you can get some buy-in with the campiness of, like, the Rusev Day. Now mm-hmm. you're doing that with Gable and Benjamin. But it's not working, in my opinion.
No, and the thing is the Bungibles can do that with somebody like Fashion Police, all right? They can do that because people don't necessarily like that. You can't go to the New Day and say you're campy, you're stupid, you're not serious, we don't like you, because everybody loves the New Day.
And that's all the New Day is, and right. That's why we love them. They're the comedy side of that yeah. entertainment.
You're
part.
Not going to be the, you know what, you're right, Benjables. This yeah, needs to be need taken to seriously. This. No, everybody's going to be like, New Day, go!
So, they have some sort of pseudo match. Gable winds up getting pinned. I'm happy because Kofi got over and got the pin.
Yeah. I do enjoy when Kofi gets over.
I do like Kofi a lot. I have, even when he was the guy from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Still mm-hmm. liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of sidestepping that because we get the campiness and all that. But I want to lead it into, hey, so the Usos cut this new promo, and it's in the style you love where they're putting the little catchwords up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How does it end?
Oh, those Bludgeon Brothers.
Just bash that TV in with their
You didn't even know it was
hammers.
On a TV. And then they
no,
bash
I honestly thought, and then you just see the hammer crash, and I was like, it's
that's
on.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be a good
that's
one.
That's going to be a good one.
I'm looking
Them together, I think,
to
is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Straight up looking forward to that.
Straight up, yo.
To quote the love of my life, that's straight fire.
Straight fire.
Straight
and
fire.
And that, my friends, is Raw and SmackDown.
So, like we said, it was good.
It was yeah. I feel it was SmackDown was a little lazy. Could have gotten a little more, but
I think
they're moving. Like
I want to say, I think SmackDown is slowing it down a little bit because they realize Fastlane is 6 weeks away, and we need to kind of do a slower build.
Because mm-hmm.
you've already put our title matches up, and now you're just throwing more wrestlers in there. I'm just waiting for the whole. All right, anybody backstage, come on down.
Come on down.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I think the only other thing we have to cover, because we didn't cover it last week.
What? Go ahead.
The Mixed Match Challenge.
Do you know what day it is?
What day is it?
Rusev Day!
Rusev Day!
And you know what Rusev Day likes to do on Rusev Day?
What?
He likes to sing Lana number one, Lana Machka.
So we had Rusev and his lovely bride, Lana.
They go up against
versus
Elias and Bayley.
The what?
Yeah.
Somebody that you're having is pretty much still the top babyface of Bayley.
The hugger.
And one of your top heels.
The thug.
Elias.
The hugger
together?
And the thug. It's a thug hug life.
A thug hug life?
A hug thug life?
A hug thugs?
A huggy thug life?
Hugs for thugs?
I don't know. I kind of like the pairing. I like the dynamic of it. But, you know, who's going to get over on Rusev and Lana, especially when Lana and Rusev are playing up the Rusev Day shtick because we're so involved with that.
And I love the little videos they were putting out where Rusev was pretending to be Elias and Lana came in dressed as Bayley. Like, that was hilarious.
She's rocking the little side pony.
The side ponytail and the ripped shirt. And
Lana love everybody. Lana number one. Oh, the stupid stuff husbands do for their wives.
Love it. Love it. But so we got that. Rusev Day wins. And then next week we have the final first round match of Apollo Crews and Nia Jax versus Bobby Roode and Charlotte Flair. And then the first round's finally done.
Mm.
So who wins next week?
I think you just have to figure out who's wearing the prettier robe. Is it Roode or Charlotte?
That's rough.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it were me, I'd be like, I'd have Roode and Charlotte lose in a way that doesn't put them under.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you got two title holders and they're going against Nia Jax.
Right. And you can have them lose on this and it's not changing storylines.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've been following it, but the Mixed Match Challenge has lost viewers from the get-go. But this week, they came back up.
So, and I honestly think that has to do with the power of Rusev and Lana. Mainly Rusev.
How into you are on this Mixed Match Challenge? I'm kind of like pocket watching it. Yeah. Like, I am watching it like I watch clips on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll get to it when I get to it.
I don't immediately go after SmackDown and watch it.
I don't know, like, can you really count the viewership and, like, once it's released? Or do you just kind of, like, have to be like, all in all, did this work out?
Yeah, exactly. I think this is more of a you need to take it week by week. Like, from the time it's dropped to the next one, how many people watched it?
I wouldn't even go that way. I would do pretty much my thing. It would be like, let the whole program play out. Don't worry about your viewership during.
Mm-hmm.
Just figure out, did it work in the end?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and because this is the inaugural one, and good on WWE for being at the forefront of like something like Facebook Watch, but because it's the inaugural one, I would almost go with, learn your lesson from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, and I'm giving Vince so much of the
benefit
of the
doubt. So much credit, but keep going.
Kind of like his idea with the XFL. I launched it, I made it huge, and it fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this new XFL, maybe I learned my lessons and I'm going to make it an A-team thing. It's going to be a supplement to the NFL. I don't want it to be a feeder. I want it to be a standalone.
Mm.
With that being said, this is my plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. We saw that in the USFL. And
mm-hmm. So maybe this Mixed Match Challenge will lead to something better in, you know, the 2020 year or something like that.
Speaking of something better.
Yes.
Mm. Let's talk local wrestling.
Let's talk local wrestling.
Give me some sweet, sweet local wrestling.
Yes.
Make sure you mention Slim Jim because he is our
100th follower on the Tweetser.
There it is.
But this weekend, we have the Maryland Championship Wrestling, their Four Horsemen anniversary. Four Horsemen. All right?
Four Horsemen.
Woo!
And we're going.
We'll be there. He himself will be there. Oh, love him.
We're going to see Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Arn Anderson. Tully Blanchard.
Barry Windham.
And JJ is going to be there.
JJ.
Who are you more excited for? Probably, I mean, let's do this. Take Ric Flair out of the match. Who are you most excited to see?
I think it's the same one you are. Arn Anderson.
Yeah. God, I love me some Arn.
I know.
Probably one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time.
There was so much excitement when he was in that Ric Flair 30 for 30. And they interviewed him.
I will tell you this. Arn Anderson, to me, growing up, was like the ring guy. Like,
yeah.
He had all the submission holds and all that. The only one that I would ever put over Arn Anderson is a Dean Malenko.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's even putting Harry M. Baldwin in the mix,
mm-hmm.
who is titled the technician, or the definition of a ring technician.
Exactly.
Mr. Baldwin, as much respect as I have for you and your craft,
mm-hmm.
I can't put you on a Dean Malenko and Arn Anderson status.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to go see them next weekend.
Right. Mm-hmm. 17th. They will be there. You still want to buy tickets? MDCWrestling.com. You can go there. That's where you buy the tickets from. All right. Then we have our boys, Right Coast Pro. Not only one Harry M. Baldwin definition of a ring technician, but our 100th follower.
100th follower.
Slim Jim.
From the Crazy Kids.
From the Crazy Kids.
Because those kids are crazy.
March 17th, their special Blarney Blast.
Blarney Blast.
Where one can only hope.
I am Big Orum.
That Slim Jim will dress up as a green leprechaun.
I hope he jumps around. That would be glorious.
Glorious.
Brian, I've been working on my...
We're trying. We're really trying.
My Irish accent, not so hot.
Not so hot.
I will never be able to do a Hornswoggle.
No. Mm-mm. No. Maybe we can get him to come on and be Seamus for a promo. Or Paige.
I don't think he could rock a Paige.
No? You don't think he could rock a Paige?
Because I'd rather look at Paige than listen to her. And that's true. Paige is British?
Wait, that's not the same?
Becky Lynch is Irish.
Oh, that's right.
And I will not let him desecrate the beauty that is Becky
Lynch.
I couldn't do that to you. No, no.
Mm-hmm. But that is March 17th, Blarney Blast. You want to get tickets? RCPWrestling.com. Ugh, get on there, buy some tickets.
We're going to that town.
All right, now it is our moment of. Ooh, we talk about synergy.
Synergy.
With the Take-Two Network.
It's good. Right? We like to bring everything together.
Everything together. It's Oscar season.
Oscar.
All right. They did a spotlight. Christopher Nolan.
I'm just saying words.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Nominated.
Next spotlight.
Next.
Will be all about Frances McDormand.
McDormand.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Oscar.
Newest soundtracks episode coming out this weekend.
Yes.
All about I, Tonya. Nominated for an Oscar.
I have not heard this soundtrack.
Amazing soundtrack.
I can only imagine from the time the event happened and the music that was there.
Yep.
I'm very intrigued.
Oh, you should be, my friend.
I am sitting here twirling.
Quite a good soundtrack.
Twirling the edge of my mustache.
Quite
with
a good soundtrack.
Intrigue and want.
We will even have the newest Take Two show, The Realm of Take Two.
The Realm.
Said that they too will have some Oscar fantasy movies that they will discuss.
Do we need to put on our +5 magic cloak of invisibility and carry around our +3 steel dagger?
Right. And don't forget that we have to have our mage with us. I don't know what a mage is, but we have to have one.
A mage.
Apparently. And a thief. You always need a thief.
These are great.
All right. So, our crack research team
crack
of
research.
Me on my cell phone.
You and your cell phone.
Looked up. Has any WWE wrestler ever been nominated for an Oscar? No.
No.
No is the question. Except this year.
What?
This year, our own lover of jorts, John Cena, voices Ferdinand.
What do you mean?
Ferdinand is up for Best Animated Picture.
Does that mean he's up or just the movie?
The movie, not him. But the movie is up. This is the closest any WWE wrestler has ever been to winning an Oscar.
No, wait. I can't believe that the performance Rowdy Roddy Piper put into They Live never got an Oscar.
Never got an Oscar.
That's a John Carpenter classic.
The closest thing you have is the movie The Wrestler. Where Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei both got nominated. Didn't win, but both got nominated.
I'm going to throw
That's
a little shade.
That's the closest
shade.
Thing you got.
I'm going to throw a little shade. Didn't some of the Fast and Furious get nods? And who's in that?
See, that was the thing I was looking at. But they only got, like, technical things that I felt had nothing to do with The Rock.
So, because Ferdinand gets Best Animated Series nod,
yes.
You're giving that to
I'm
Cena.
Giving that to John Cena. Because the reason that is a Best Animated Movie, because I saw it in the theater, is because of John Cena. Whether you believe that or not, that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
The reason Fast and Furious got nominated for Best Sound Editing is not because of The Rock.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
And it's not sound editing.
What about, like, The Gate or his... King of Egypt or
nope. You mean the Mummy Returns one and Scorpion King?
Yeah, that is.
Nope. Not nominated for nothing.
That's why they'll never have me on Take Two because I don't know shit about movies.
The Gate of Egypt or the Scorpion King.
Come
one
on.
Of the two.
Come on, guys. How about a novice? I don't know what I'm talking about.
So when you watch the Oscars coming up in a few weeks.
Yes.
I think. I don't really know when the Oscars are.
I don't
know. Whenever they show up. I can tell you the next 6 wrestling pay-per-views coming out. Couldn't tell you when the Oscars are on.
Don't know.
But when it comes out, all of our T3 fans, we're all crossing our fingers for Ferdinand.
Well, at this point, I care less about a bull movie, but I'm all in.
I'm all in. So our moment of is a clip of John Cena being Ferdinand.
It seems like from the moment you're born, people think they got you all figured out based on how you look, how you talk, where you're from. But it's not that simple. especially when it comes to me. I'm a little bit more complex. I'm Ferdinand. You look at me and think big. You think scary. You think, well, at least he's not in the China shop. I'm on my way. Not a fighting bull.
You don't need to be a fighting bull. You just have to look like a fighting bull.
You see that barrel over there?
Smash it to pieces.
With my head?
What else are you gonna hit it with?
Ready.
Synergies, baby. Synergies.
I can't believe
that I figured out a way to correlate Oscars and wrestling. I know.
I would have gone with gold for gold.
Hmm?
Like how they had the Slammies.
No. That was too easy, my friend. Too easy.
I would have gone with, God, something better.
Nope. Too easy. I'm going for Oscar-nominated John Cena.
It's not that.
Oscar-nominated John Cena.
That's it.
That's our moment.
That's it. You know what?
You're welcome.
I now hate you as much as I hate Tony.
Oh, thank you, folks, for joining us for episode 18. We have to give all of our love out to people.
Lots of love.
Lots of love. We love our hype man, Freddie B, even though he's on a little hiatus now because we got two glorious people.
I mean, when you can bring historic people back.
Right, to do a promo for you.
Take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that the intro was cut professionally.
Professionally, but it sure sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those two that did that, wow.
Beautiful is all I can say.
I'm getting
beautiful.
The feelies again. Almost like running out in the crowd and hugging kids.
Almost.
I'm getting the feelies.
Almost. We already professed our love for Jason Wilson, our musical extraordinaire.
Mr. Wilson, pancake challenge.
Pancake
out there.
Challenge.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting. Waiting diligently by my phone, waiting for the old text-a-rooney.
Mm-hmm. We should put this on the Twitter. Hashtag pancake challenge.
For you saying, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he'll be in. Even if we have to drag him there.
If the fans are so inclined and they are interested in joining us, we can make it an event.
We can. We can have like an audience. We'll set up some bleachers.
We will just coordinate with somewhere where we do a pancake challenge ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we put it all together, we might be able to even do something where we'll take the money from a pancake challenge, throw it into letting kids go see a Black Panther movie.
We can.
I almost said Pink Panther.
That would be pretty funny if we just gave them money to go see an old Pink Panther movie. Hashtag Pink Panther challenge.
Pancakes into Panther. I like how this is going.
This is now my goal.
Okay.
That I've just decided this is my life goal.
Life goal.
3 seconds ago. That when we go run our 0.05K in Baltimore,
yep,
one person
mm-hmm.
is holding up a T3 sign. That is all I hope.
Any of us.
Can't be any of us three. Can't be anyone related to us. Because so I have a feeling my wife will come because she already offered to make pancakes for us to pass out.
So we can't stack the deck in our favor.
No.
We have to have a genuine fan out there with T3.
With a genuine sign that they made at home supporting T3. With us dressed as New Day.
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get a fan with a T3 sign that we don't know, we haven't met, that
right.
we haven't stacked the deck for, or mm-hmm. what have you, I will give them a T3 t-shirt.
Ooh.
Soon to be available on TeePublic.
Do you hear that, folks? You can get a T3 t-shirt. All you have to do, show up at the 0.05K in Baltimore. All right? You run from one entrance to the power plant to not even the exit. That is a 0.05K.
So,
don't worry. Waters break in between.
And what's at the end?
Mm-hmm. More drinking.
So it sounds like this is a heated race.
Heated race. It's got a water break halfway through.
Well, good. I need my fluid. I got to stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm. Got to stay hydrated.
All right. So we're in it to win it now.
We're in it to win it. Mm-hmm. Hashtag pancake challenge. Hashtag T3 sign challenge.
All right. We haven't finished giving out our love.
We haven't. I got distracted by life goals.
To the wrestling life.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge is still out there.
Yep.
We are looking forward to the opportunity of putting our wrestling heads together and seeing what nerdisms come out. If you want to join the 0.05 challenge or join us in our pancake throwdown, we'll get you shirts.
That's fancy.
I don't feel like fighting them. I feel like cross-promoting.
Cross-promoting. Synergy.
Well, because... All right, I'm going to go... I'm going out of kayfabe here.
Hold on.
I'm going for reals.
Do it.
You and I both enjoy listening to other wrestling shows.
Yes.
I know that's a shocker.
Yes.
Our favorites... Well, my favorite right now, I'm not going to speak for you, but my two favorites right now are The Wrestling Life and Busted Wide Open.
Yes.
With that being said, I don't know if it's idiot user error or what have you, but Wrestling Life, I don't have another new episode, and I am dying for one.
Dying! We need one!
So gimme!
Gimme!
Gimme, gimme!
Hashtag Pancake Challenge. Hashtag T3 Sign Challenge. Hashtag tweet us back.
All right, good work.
All right. Anybody else we got to give love to? I think that's about it.
Wait. Want to give a little love out to Slim Jim.
Slim Jim! 100th follower! Oh, we love us some Slim Jim.
And other than that, the only real love I'm giving out is to Becky Lynch.
Of course. Of course. But thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you next week on T3. Peace!
Do you want to roll with the Dusty intro so that you have another week to come up with a response to my Road Dog?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Road Dog, I think you're right. We need to do it
together.
And you'll
have to come out as Billy Gunn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, stoned Billy
Which is
Gunn.
Easy for me.
I say, like,
and if you don't get it,
I love you, don't love it, too much. Well, all right, Slim Jim, welcome to the fold.
Welcome to the fold.
Let's see where this goes.
This is going to be a fun one, guys.
Oh, God.
Oh.
I'm like a roller coaster ride of emotion. Who was that, Craig?
I'm...
Chug-a-lug.
Sorry, I had to chug-a-lug a little bit. I'm excited.
That thing has been going on the whole entire time we've been recording.
We've been... You haven't been listening to the Rodcast the whole time, too?
No.
Oh, no. Apparently I have.
All right, so we know we need to cut that. Who was it, Craig? Jesus Christ, I try to lead you in and you
die. I know, and I die on you.
What the hell?
Hard to find. I want to make sure there wasn't another one. We already professed our love, as always, for Jason Jordan, our musical...
Jason who?
Damn it!
I feel with the way you have your hat, you are in this to win this.
In this to win it!
This has been a production of... WTTP Take 2 5. A WTTP WTTP
WTTP WTTP WTTP.
WTTP 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 WTT